If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at radiomd.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. One of the most interesting stories of the week that I saw was a story that was on Mexican Americans and their heart risk. Mexican Americans, when they come to the United States, have a much greater risk of heart attack and stroke, impotence, decay in orgasm quality, probably even wrinkling, although I don't know that that's been comparatively measured, compared to what they were in the native land before they came here. But now, even in their native land in Mexico, they're at a very, very high risk of heart attack and stroke, as are most people in the world, but this is a special group. And it looked like it said that in Mexican Americans, heart damaging risk factors such as high blood pressure or high blood sugar are common, even in the absence of obesity. Those who weren't obese but were metabolically unhealthy showed similar signs of early arterial disease as were the obese, according to a study published this week in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Hardening of the arteries increases the risk of heart disease, stroke, of course, memory loss, impotence, and even wrinkling. And it is probable because of their genetic makeup. And that is, a lot of the world is more at risk of these metabolic problems based on their, if you will, nomadic background. So those who live in the Mideast, very high incidence of this, even without obesity. China, at the same BMI, BMI of 27, which isn't obese, it's barely what you would call just touching overweight. 60% of Chinese have metabolic factors for heart disease and stroke. It's 52% in the Chinese, in the Mexican American group. So Americans, you know, as Oprah says, Americans, you already won the lottery. You were born here. But this is another way. Your genetics are such that it is, we're less likely, even though we have a high incidence, it's all caused by our habits. And we can really change that and change it faster than many of the groups who are born in other countries. So the genetic, the American, quote, genetics are generally more favorable than those in many other nations for heart disease and metabolic risk factors for abnormal heart and cardiovascular and cancer risks. Bridget just sent me a story. More than one-third of Division I college athletes, what's going on with them, Bridget, now that we're in the NCAAs and March Madness? Although you might listen to the show at a different time, we're recording it during March Madness. Tell us about college athletes.
So they looked at the vitamin D levels of the Division I college athletes. They had, I believe, 121 men and 102 women that they looked at from the NCAA. And they found that the average vitamin D level was 40.1 nanograms per milliliter, and that one-third of them, approximately one-third of them, were insufficient or deficient in their vitamin D status, which is very concerning considering that vitamin D is so important for bone health and function and so many other things that are being continually being researched.
Well, it's actually amazing that they grew big enough and strong enough without bone problems with very low levels.
Should
be said that if you look at all Americans, between 80 and 90% of all Americans are short of vitamin D. So these athletes, much less short, only 36%, I think you told me, were short of them.
Right.
Less than the general population, but still amazing that the people who are the tallest, that are supposed to represent the best, that have training tables and all that kind of stuff to eat better, they still have high risk. And The other thing you told me was that there was something different about Black and Hispanic athletes.
Oh, yeah. They also showed that Black athletes had they were 19.1 times more likely to have abnormal vitamin D levels compared to white athletes, and then Hispanics were 6.1 times more likely.
And that's because the skin, in other words, many of the athletes must be getting their vitamin D from sun exposure, and the skin of dark skin, in fact, filters out much of the light ability to convert inactive to active vitamin D in our skin. So,
right.
That's probably why that is. But it is an amazing fact that many people were short of vitamin D. Now, the other really interesting story about kids was what happens with energy drinks and kids.
Yeah, this was really interesting. So, but not surprising. So in 2012, we covered a story about a girl who had died of a heart arrhythmia. She was from Maryland.
Maryland, that's right, Baltimore area.
Yes. So she was 14, died after having two Monster drinks of a cardiac arrhythmia. The parents sued Monster. And I actually haven't stayed up on what happened with that lawsuit, but it leads into the story that they released this past week on the number of hospital emergency room visits for kids ages 12 to 17 that were linked to energy drinks. They tracked them in 2007 and found that 1,145 emergency room visits were attributed to consumption of energy drinks in kids. And then that jumped about 400 cases in 2011 to 1,499. Kids who are admitted because of consuming energy drinks, and a lot of it goes back to the caffeine intake that's fairly dangerous for kids of that young age to be drinking. There are a lot of labels out now from a lot of the companies that say that it's not necessarily safe for child consumption, but I think that the way that they're sold and advertised, that they're so popular that a lot of young people are getting their hands on them. And actually, they came out with a study earlier this month that found they looked at just 25 healthy young adults, and they were between ages 19 to 40, and they found that those that consumed energy drinks had increased blood pressure 30 minutes after drinking the energy drink. So when you compare that and it from a 19 to 40 year old to what that does to a 12 to 17 year old, it can be pretty scary.
And tell me this is increasing blood pressure and increasing deaths. We don't have any denominator. In other words, is this, I suppose 1,400, we got really upset with 150 people who died in a from this plane crash this week, if you will. This is 10 times as many needed to be hospitalized for serious medical problems. This isn't just a errand visit to the emergency room. So when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about how serious this is, and whether these arrhythmias lead to further arrhythmias as they get older. We don't really know. But one of the most interesting stories last week is how to prevent, even if you have atrial fibrillation, how 45% of Australians got rid of atrial fibrillation once they had it without medications. Sonar, do we have, am I off on time? Okay, I've got about 30 seconds left. So, we're going to talk about also how much exercise is right to decrease cancer rates and progression. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well.